Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
Well, again, it's our 22nd year anniversary. And I always like on our anniversaries to talk a brief history. Sometimes, like on the bigger ones, we go deeper, but just brief history of where we've been and how faithful God has been. So it's been about 25 years ago that the Shepherd's Fellowship was born in Vision. And then we started working on it, Jenny and I, for about 7-8 months. One weekend, everything got shut down. Did not work out. That turned into the Shepherd's Nook. And for those who remember the Shepherd's Nook, we had a Christian bookstore, Jenny and I, here in town. 5 years over by El Campesino, here on this side of town, and then 3 years over by Kohl's. The first 5 years were cooler than the last 3 years. They just liked the location better. And we got a couple years into that, and things were going really, really well. Again, this is the very condensed version. And we started praying, God, what next? Like, we are stewards of the blessings that he was giving to us. So we were thinking, like, do we add homeschooling or do we add other ministry items into our inventory or whatever the case may be? And that's when God clued us in that he had started the church. He just did not tell us about it. And so that's when we started looking. And we had several people coming to our after-hour Christian Bible studies. Some involved in churches, some not. Some who would go to a Christian bookstore but would not go to a church because of pastorhood. And within that and talking to people, we had about 6 adults and 2 kids. And we started out with that for the planting seasons. Shortly thereafter that, we added our first worship leader, Steve Ruth, into that mix. And then about, again, 22 years ago this month, we opened up down at the Marion Racquetball Club. We were there for 6 months. We were at River Valley High School for 6 months at the big auditorium, which I love the resources that were there and the tools that were there. But you slap 30 people into a 700-seat auditorium, and community feeling goes right out the window. So we got out of there as quickly as we possibly could. Went downtown for a couple of years, had kind of a coffee house type environment down at church and center in Maine. And then we came here 18 years ago. At the same time, we were moving the store, we moved this, and we went to go get Emily from Kazakhstan. All happened in the same month. So that was a little bit crazy. And then God has kept us here ever since. And as you saw in the pictures, he's been very faithful to us. I was just getting ready this morning. I really remembering the initial vision of just, again, being there for people who have been hurt by church, hurt by Christians, and being relational. As far as the base, biblical and relationships being our base, I would not have able to really comprehend how beautiful it's become. And so it's been that's something I want to celebrate today, something I want to dig into. I am curious, though, just since we're doing the quick version, how many people have been here 5 years or more? Raise your hands. Okay, keep your hands up, 10 years or more. 10 years, you would remember the old room. Okay, let's go back to when we moved here. We moved here 18 years ago. 18 years or more. Okay, we still got some players. 18 or more. How many remember being at the coffee house set up downtown? Still? Okay. Remember River Valley? Okay, still. Let's see, Marion Racquetball Club. First Sunday. Nancy, were you there the first Sunday? I thought you blew us off. No, I'm just kidding. Carrie, you were second Sunday. Scott, I thought you were first Sunday. You were second Sunday too? That's when you were macking on your missus. You're like, oh, Carrie's going to the fellowship. Maybe I'll go over there and see her.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's what it was?
It
was a 3-piece suit. No one's ever looked better.
It's better every time. In like 2 years, it's going to be a tuxedo. Yeah.
Oh, I recognize a tuxedo. How many were born here and coming here? So Matthew would be one. Charlie would be one. Aaron's one. We just walked him out. What's that? No, I said that the other day. Who was I talking to? I was like talking about being born here. And people are like, oh, in the gathering room? Yes, it took weeks to clean up. You goofballs. But The baptismal doubles. You people are jacked up. If only I could imagine this 20 years ago, I would have saved myself a lot of time. Okay, but I think it's fitting today. We kind of got two things coming together between this 22 years of God's faithfulness and everything that's been going on and all the works and all the ups and all the downs and all the community and all the people who have come, all the people that have left, all the people that, raised families because, you guys have both of your kids here as well, miracle babies. All of that coming into a lot of memories and a lot of things. If I did an actual wrap-up video for the last 22 years, we'd be here forever. Voices, my coming sabbatical, I'll be gone for June, July, and the beginning of August at this point, coming together, it seems like a really good time just to talk about sabbatical, Sabbath rest for everybody. And so what I want to dig into now, we've talked about rethink and we've talked about discipleship, we talked about all the stuff that we put on a plate. One of the things we definitely have to look at is rest, and it's something that's easily overlooked. And so I want to spend most of our time talking about biblical rest today for all of us, and then as I promised, at the end, I'll talk to you a little bit about my coming sabbatical, make sure we're all on the same page. Sound good? Mm-hmm. Everybody in? Okay, let's do that by getting into Bibles. 1 Kings 19 is where we're going today. Again, you've got Bibles in the baskets underneath the chairs around the room if you need to keep bow or still one. And then also, the YouVersion is up and running as well. I believe we'll be keeping YouVersion through the parks, but on my sabbatical, that will be down. So enjoy it while you got it. And we're going to look in a moment in Elijah's life, Elijah the prophet, that is kind of, without really digging into it, would be kind of surprising at just first look. So we'll do what we usually do. We're going to read a little, then we're going to talk a lot, and then we'll go from there. So, verse 1 of chapter 19 says this, Ahab, which was the king, told Jezebel, his wife, all that Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. Okay, that's read a little. Now let's talk a lot about that one verse. For us to all be on the same page with what's about to happen, we have to know what Ahab told Jezebel. And what he's done is he has reiterated the two chapters before this. So, here's basically the setting. You have Elijah in a period of time of rest, about 3 years of rest. He, before this, had pronounced judgment of God to Elijah to the king, that there was going to be a drought of judgment on the people, and they had not had rain for 3 years since that moment. And as soon as he pronounced it, God said, okay, we're taking you over here, and I'm going to shutter you away because they're going to want to kill you. This is not going to be a good thing. It's their fault, but they're going to want to kill you. So he's been in rest for 3 years, and then God one day shows up, and through his messenger says, okay, it's time to go back. It's time for us to deal with this. So Elijah does so without any pause whatsoever. Definitely, we see a lot of confidence with Elijah in this early part of it. He walks, he goes back into town, he sees a guy, and he's like, man, Elijah, is that you? And he's like, yep, it's me. Go tell Ahab I'm back. And he's like, well, what did I do to you that you want me to go tell Ahab? Because he wants you dead. I don't want to be killed because I'm the messenger. And he says, trust God, he's got this. A lot of confidence. Guy goes to Ahab. Ahab comes out and looks at Elijah and says, you, the troublemaker, you're back? He goes, I'm not a troublemaker. You're the troublemaker. You're the one that caused all this problem. Again, a lot of confidence. Has no problem going up against the king, right? And so then he kind of gets into this little verbal match where Elijah says, look, I'm the last of the prophets. You killed everybody else. You got 450 prophets of Baal, which is the false god. He goes, I say we have a little match. I say we set up a little function here, and we're going to set up two altars, put bull meat on top of each, one to your God, one to mine. You guys are going to call fire down from sky, and your gods are going to send down fire and burn up their sacrifice, or my God is. And whoever wins takes it all. And they have said, sounds good to me, so he gets it out there. And now, again, remember that this drought had been there, so everything's very dry. It won't take too much for the gods to get this thing going. But they go out there, and you got 450 guys dancing around in front of all the community, in front of the king, calling out to their god, send fire down, take the sacrifice, burn it, and nothing happens. And so they continue, and they go harder, and Elijah, in all of his boldness, I kind of find Elijah very funny in this. He's like, hey, maybe you just need to be a little louder. Maybe they're having a nap. Maybe they went to the bathroom. Maybe they just, you know, don't have time right now to come back. Why don't you try harder? And he's taunting them until they finally collapse and give up. And so then Elijah's turn comes up and he says, do me a favor, go get a large jar of filtered water and just pour it all over my altar. Now remember, water is a very big commodity at this point because they've been in a drought for 3 years. We just had our first team meeting for the Africa trip coming up. And Anna Lee was like, if you have a bottle of water, do not throw it away. The water is precious. We are water poor. We'll use it for something. And she was making a very strong point of it. And that they're water poor. These guys have nothing, but yet they pour water over it. Why? Because I don't want you to think that somebody was smoking close by and accidentally caught the thing on fire. He says, so do it again. And do it again. And do it again. And they do it so much, water's just dripping off of it. It's puddled up there. It's got a trough of water around it that it's just soaked. And Elijah says, God, burns it all up. I mean, very evident that God is God in this moment. I mean, there's just no way around it. And so he wins. Ahab, he takes off. Everybody's shocked. He says, okay, we're not going to have this false religion anymore. Take these false prophets away. They take them away. They slaughter each and every one of the 450. They're all dead now. And Elijah's the man that's standing, and everybody knows it. Then Ahab goes home, and he tells his wife what happened. And his wife's not happy about it. Okay, we're all caught up to verse 2. Verse 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid. And he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey to the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. And he lay down and he slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a head of cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank and went in that strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, threw down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek to take my life, to take it away. And he said, go out and stand at the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, and then he was not an earthquake. And as we continue in, he also came a fire, and he was not in the fire. And then he came in the gentle whisper and met Elijah there. Okay, so the question becomes, all through 18, anybody comes up against him, he's like, me and God's got it. Me and God's got it. And then Ahab goes home and tells his wife, and his wife says, I promise you, you'll be dead this time tomorrow. He's like, where does that come from? He's going up against the king. He's going up against the people. He's going up against 400 prophets of Baal. And then one cranky lady freaks him out, and to the point that he goes to the desert and says, God, just take me now. Just take me now. Where does that come from? There's a couple of different things that I would suggest to you. One we're going to focus on more than the other. But I do believe that the trunk is this. If you're not familiar, there is actually a spirit of Jezebel that is named after this particular woman because of the symptoms shown here, and it does still continue in spiritual warfare today. It's something I think we have to be really, really cautious about assigning to people, because a lot of times if someone's difficult, we go, oh, he's got the spirit of Jezebel, she's got the spirit of Jezebel, and we trash people, like somehow make them impersonal instead of actually meeting them where they're at. But occasionally, there is someone who's really leaning into it. And I know of at least three times we've dealt with that in our 22 years. And it's hard. It is heartbreaking to deal with. It is challenging. It's emasculating. It usually is trying to use sexuality in some particular way. It wants to be in charge of anything, and it would do anything to anybody to get there. And it's really overwhelming. Matter of fact, if you continue this story, not only does God take and ministering to Elijah where he's at, but Elijah's not the one that ends up taking Jezebel out. He ends up giving Elijah a partner to give him some support, sets him on another mission. It's somebody else that goes and is dealing with the Elijah situation, or the Jezebel situation. Generally, Jezebel situations do not stop until the friends of the Jezebel spirit take and say, it's enough. And they take away that power by not having a community around them. That's usually how that works. So there's definitely a lot in here as far as that aspect of things. I'm not going to get into much more than that today. If you want to go deeper, if you go to our YouTube channel and you look up Jezebel, there's a picture of my wife. No, I'm kidding. It's Jezzy. Jezzy, I'm sorry. She knows better. She knows better. No, there is a alter ego named Jezzy, but that's a whole other topic I'm not allowed to talk about up here. But not Jezebel. Keep it down, Jezebel. So there's definitely an aspect within this, and you can look up Jezebel and you can find the sermons that I think only one study I've done on that went really, really in depth because of what we were going through at that time. Now, there's another thing that I think is a theory here is I think he was severely burnt out. He rested for 3 days. We see him coming out of it strong. We see him digging into it. We don't see at any particular point in that time that he stops and he prays. We don't see any time within that he says, okay, I'm going to step off and have a few moments to myself between me and God. There's no time of refueling within the situation with Ahab, Prophet Baal, that at some point he just burnt out. He just gave up and couldn't continue anymore. And I think most of us have been there at some point or another. Maybe not because you're going up against 450 prophets of Baal, but because of life. Has anybody been there? Just where you're burnt out, you're done, you're overwhelmed, relationships are struggling, everything. Right, that's where he's at. And so that's what I want to talk about is what is the solution for this so that we don't continue. And if you're there today, how can you get out? And I truly believe, and I'm a big supporter now of Sabbath Rest. I've got a couple situations right now, and I've stepped in several times. Even people within the church, you need to get out of here for 3 days. You need to be gone for a week. You need to take care of yourself, whatever the case may be. And so that's what I want to be able to educate us on fully today. So the rest of the time is going to be mostly educational. So if you're a note taker, you might want to take some things that are on the screen, other things that are going to that I might just say to you as well. Including some scriptures on Sabbath rest and how it's been there since the beginning. If you look in Genesis 2, verses, I think it's 2 through 3, you're going to see the first Sabbath rest. And you guys know what I'm talking about? God rested on the seventh day. He created 6 days, creates all of creation. On the seventh day, God rested. I am pretty convinced God doesn't need rest. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all of it. I don't think he needs rest. I do think that he will model things to us that we need. And I believe that's why we have that there. And it's referred back to as a scripture. It's kind of like Jesus not needing to be baptized. He never sinned. He didn't have to repent. But for Jesus to say, no, I have to do this to fulfill all righteousness, that teaches me, then it's pretty darn important that I get baptized after I accept Jesus as leader and forgive him my life. This is a big part of my spiritual walk. This is a big part of announcing who I am. Same thing, God rested. If God decided to rest, I think he was doing it as a model for you and I, that he was resting within that time. We see it's important enough that when we get to Exodus chapter 20, that he puts it into the top 10 list. You know, if you got all these things that he's been kind of modeling for generations, and then he kind of boils it down to the top 10 commandments, one of the commandments is, you shall not work on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, which is Saturday, from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, right? Now, man took it into a bunch of, it is one of the longest commands that you're going to see in the Ten Commandments, but man took it into all these different areas and made it quite burdensome of what you can do or not do. So Jesus had to come in and step in. But God deemed it important enough for you and I to rest in him. I'm not just talking about taking naps. Rest in him that he put it in the top 10 list. He put it in the Ten Commandments. And they did for generations and generations to when Jesus came, right? Now Jesus is fulfilling the law. So do we still have to rest on the Sabbath? Usually becomes the question at this point. not on Saturdays. What we find is Jesus came and said, listen, you guys have gotten off track with this. It's not about the day. It's about the time of your God. It's about the time of your rest. And with it being fulfilled, as in all things, we have to look, is it reiterated within the New Testament? Circumcision was gone. Is it reiterated in the New Testament? No. It's about a matter of being circumcised to the heart. So in the same way, if the Sabbath is gone, is Sabbath gone or is the Saturday detail gone? And what we're going to find is Jesus. Jesus oftentimes violated that Saturday rule. Jesus, it appears, oftentimes violated it to really upset people and to start a conversation. I'll give you a couple that Mark 1:35 and Luke 5:16. Mark 1:35, Luke 5:16 are just a couple of examples of when Jesus did that. But he was very, very, consistent that we did have Sabbath rest. Matter of fact, those two examples are him having Sabbath rest. Does anybody know his favorite place to go pray? The Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives, constantly going there to pray, to reconnect with his dad. That's Sabbath rest. His favorite place to vacation, I'm not telling weird Bible jokes, by the way, was Bethany. We see oftentimes if he needed to step off in the crowds, he would go to Lazarus' house and Mary and Martha's house. Bethany was an alms village, which means if Jerusalem had people that were in poverty or sick, they would send them to one of the three alms villages, so they're out of sight, out of mind, and you guys deal with them. And he loved being at an alms village where people took care of each other, loved each other, welcomed each other. And that's where he would relax and have his Christian community that was not dragging from him all the time. So it was very much a part of his life, even though that Saturday thing was not applied anymore. Matter of fact, I like the one in Mark 2:27. If you write that down, you might remember where the disciples are walking along the road and they're cutting the tassels off the wheat to eat it on a Sabbath, and the religious leaders get really ticked off about it. And do you remember what Jesus said? The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's not so that we have one more hoop to jump through. But Sabbath rest is made for you. It's made for you. And a lot of us neglect it. A lot of us are not good at it. A lot of us are challenged by it. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4 gives you a decent amount for the New Testament on Sabbath rest. And it starts out by saying, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, since we still have the opportunity to stop and rest in God, since that's still there, let us be careful that none of us are found to fall short of it. That we have that within our own structures, our own life, that we have this beautiful gift. So let's make sure we're not cheating ourselves out of it. Is that the aspect of Hebrews. So let's talk about some things we know about Sabbath rest. First off, Sabbath rest is for everyone. There's no Superman, no Superwoman who doesn't need it. If you have accepted Jesus as leader and forgiver in your life, you are called to this, you're commanded to it, you are blessed with it, you are taught how to do it, you're exhibited in front of you how to be able to do this because you need it. I talk to people all the time that are burning out. I mean, a lot. Because this is an area we struggle in when it comes to our money and our time, our two biggest idols. And so we're running hard, just can't figure out, why can't I break this cycle? Why is it always like this? Or why is this always this weight? Why am I so anxious all the time? It's because a car can only go so far without going to the gas station, and you can only go so far without refueling. It's just that simple. And when we neglect it, we have all kinds of problems that Carl Shield is not going to help you with. It's called for 1/7 of your time as your benchmark. If God saw, this is my line of thinking, you don't have to go with this if you don't want to, but if God modeled 1/7 of his time that first week, if he caught us in the top 10 list for 1/7 of our time, that's a good benchmark to be going with. Is it 1/7 of my time each week should be Sabbath rest? That's a challenge. That's a challenge. Now, as we talk about the different ways that we can rest and Sabbath rest, it becomes a little easier. But it's actually even easier than the benchmark of our finances. If that's our two biggest idols, time and money, you've got a tenth of your money. He's only calling for a seventh of your time to spend some time with me. Reset. Be ministered to. You don't have to produce right now. You can just be with me. It's a good benchmark for us to be able to lean into and to think about when it comes from that aspect. It is a purposeful rest. It is not Netflix time. It's not Netflix time. It is a purposeful rest. If you're going to have Sabbath rest, and I think you're catching on now that, again, I'm talking more than me going away for a couple months. I'm talking about daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, periodic rest, that there needs to be a purpose behind it. It's not just a nap. A nap can be part of your sabbatical rest, just to let you know. But it's not just turning everything else off and just having you time. It's you and God time. And so putting some thought behind that of what is that purposeful rest? What am I trying to get out of it? What does the Bible call me to? And it resets accumulative stress. This was a huge lesson for me. I'm not going to get on my stuff until the end. But I had to learn what accumulative stress is and how it works. And it's unique within ministry, but it's also unique within your life. It's basically saying is, I'm going to use the ministry example given to me. If there was a situation in year two of this church that was tough, and we got through it and everything worked out or whatever, or some people left or whatever, it's going to feel very different after year three, four, some stuff here, some stuff here, some stuff here, and we're at year 10, and that exact same situation comes in, it's going to beat me up more than it did back in because stress accumulates in our lives. Do you see that in your family or your marriage or your job or whatever the case may be? We all deal with accumulative stress if we do not reset that. And Sabbath rest is there to reset it, to give us back our proper mindset, our proper vision from God's perspective instead of our own. And so it's badly needed, especially if you deal with anxiety and stress issues, which I think all of us do. And then the other one is, without it, you will burn out. It's just that simple. Anybody see something that looks good yet? I mean, does that sound good? Why am I the only one raising my hand? I was like, yeah, it's okay. I'm too tired now. I'm having my Sabbath rest. I'm not going to raise my hand. What's wrong with you people? It's great. It's awesome. It's better than a vacation. I can tell you this. It's better than a vacation. You ever gone on vacation? Man, it was a really good time. And by Tuesday, when you're back at your work, you want to strangle people still? The Sabbath rest is much deeper and more purposeful than that. I guarantee you. So let's talk about what the benefits of Sabbath rest are. First of all, it gives you your spiritual reconnection back. It gives you a time just to spend with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, with God. Just everything else gets stripped away. You're in the Word, you're in prayer, maybe you're just sitting on a tree in your backyard because you're a creation person. Whatever the case may be, it is a spiritual reconnection. If at Christmas time, for my life as a pastor, Christmas is crazy. Christmas is just crazy schedule-wise. So Jenny knows she's going to be pretty much a single person during Christmas. I'm going, she doesn't know when I'm coming home, when I'm leaving. She'll touch base, make sure I'm doing okay, but she also gives space because she knows how my mind works. When she is doing Kills for a Cause for the last month, I'm a single guy. I'm a single guy. So if you saw me with that girl, that's what. No, I'm just kidding. But I know I'm on my own. I don't know when she's coming home. I don't know when she's leaving. Touch base. Do you need me to have dinner ready for you when you get home? Do you need me to bring you something? And I become host of poor person, but the biggest gift we give each other is space. So we just had Kills for a Cause, and we went through that again. We're both comfortable with it. And then this past week, it takes us both about a week to 2 weeks to reset after stuff like that, is that fair to say? Yeah. And this past week has been week one after Kills for a Cause, and reconnecting with my wife has been fabulous, fabulous. I'm not upset about my girl, but like Monday, she took a day off. Monday's my day off, Emily's day off. We all went to Polaris, spent some time together, had meal together, everything else. It was so refreshing and so awesome. And to know that I can do that with God and have that reconnection when some of us feel so distant from him. It's a beautiful benefit that we have. It supports your physical and your mental health. It literally lowers cortisol, is that how it's pronounced? It's a stress hormone. They've had research on this, that having rest makes that difference. It reduces fatigue in your life. If you're struggling with fatigue, to be able to step off. So literally, physically, your back, your joints, mentally, your relationships are all benefited from sabbatical rest. Brings peace and wholeness. It offers a rhythmic break for you. Everything in this world, I think, and we'll talk about this in a couple places, I think, and I'll couple it with this. It's counterculture. Everything in this world is about producing. Everything in this world is about results. When I was in tuxedos in my 20s, that's why I know, Scott, it was not a tuxedo. I know tuxedos. I remember when I was the operation manager for a company, and part of that was marketing, and it was the 90s. So marketing was not social media. It was postcards, you know, and you send out 600 postcards to these lead lists of people getting married and stuff. And then you would measure how many came back, how many customers came from that and stuff. And I would get reamed if we didn't get a certain percentage of those postcards back and people booking off of those deals. And I remember talking to them like, listen, I have control over my effort. I have control of how many postcards we send out, that it's a good lead list. I have control of all of my efforts. I have no control of those people to pitch that, if they come in, or somebody else had a better promotion we did that month. I can't control them coming back. And the owner of the company said, I do not care about your efforts. I only care about your results. And that's just the world. That's just the world. God, just to let you know, does care about your efforts. If you're not doing anything and saying, well, it's all in my hands, there's a problem. Your efforts are your faithfulness. But the results, they're God. They're God. And to be able to sit in that for a moment and break that pace of all the pressure that comes from your job or comes from extracurriculars or sports activities, all that kind of stuff, it really, really does make a nice break. And it also restores relationships. It's not just for you, but it makes a big, big difference in the relationships of, again, your spouse, your kids, your parents, whatever the case may be, to get that break and to be at peace really brings a whole new you to the relationships out with you. Anything good yet? Anybody? Hey, some people raise their hand. Oh, thank you. Sweet. Thanks, Mike. Mike's stretching. Okay. JT just said hi, and Brent was waving a fly away, I appear. So, the number one reason I think that most people don't do this is because I don't have the time to do it. Would you agree? I don't have the time to do it. And the reason you feel that is because you believe in the lie of the enemy. Period. It's a discipline. It's something you commit to. It's something that you have to work on to find your way of doing this. It's not a one-way fits all, but what works for you. Like, I don't like to read. I love podcasts. And so I've been doing more podcasts, those type of things. What are you shaking your head about, Miss Amanda? I don't like to read. And Disney World's better. But I'm just kidding. It's not going to lie. Oh, here we go. Not for long. I'm kidding. That was horrible. That was bad. Hey, I'm getting my sabbatical soon. This will help. I really am ready for the sabbatical. Okay, anyways, and I'll talk about that in a minute too. But anyways, to say you don't have the time to do Sabbath rest is like saying I don't have the money to be financially faithful. We have what God has given us, and we say, sure, I'd like to have God's hand on my finances, but I just don't have the money to do that. I have the money to tithe. I need to trust him with my electric bill. That's what I had to learn for myself. Time-wise, he gives me time that I'm a steward of. And I have that time. It's just the choices I make with it to see whether or not I'm refueling or if I'm not refueling. So I'm hoping it's teaching a little bit more. I hope that you kind of lean into it. Let's talk about some different things you can do Sabbath rest-wise. Oh, wait, no, I guess we're going to do this first. Signs you need it, okay? I'll just put all of them up there. Why not? Signs that you need Sabbath rest. Fatigue, and you just can't shake it. irritability that you just got to show fuse. Your loss of joy in things that you used to enjoy. Spiritual numbness and reactive decision making are the key signs to know that you're burning out, that you're struggling. And I would say that this is what the world offers people, period. And a lot of people live with as they think it's normal. And I think it's a great lie of Satan to make us convinced that it's normal too. So if you notice any of those in yourself, it might be time to take some rest. Sabbath rest time. Hit two at once. Schedule regular daily times. Sabbath rest is daily. It might not look the same as for you as it does for others. Whether it be Bible, whether it be prayer, solitude, silence. I know I've always been kind of challenged by Neil. Neil, in the men's group, often talks about his daily devotional time of getting up early in the morning and having that. How much time do you have, Neil? Like an hour?
It just depends.
Just depends. And he just grabs the Bible and some bacon. He's good to go. And and so how to fit that into daily in your situation, and what do you have to move to do it? Practice journaling and quiet time. I'm a big fan of journaling, and I'm really horrible at it. It's something I want to work on my sabbatical. Find a spot that you enjoy. Again, Jesus loved the Mount of Olives. Bethany, you might like a particular room in your house. You might like just being out in nature. The gazebo is up and running. Ignore the playground equipment. We're moving the playground equipment around. But the benches are out there. Everything's out there. You can come here anytime that you want to and sit out there and just have nature. The benches are convertible, which means if you can sit on the bench like a back, but you can also flip the back so you have a table in front of you. If you want to do small study, you can push two together like that. It becomes a picnic table. You can put four together. You have a big square picnic table. You can bring groups over, whatever the case be. Just find your spot. Turn off notifications. Turn off your phone. Turn off email. Turn off anything that's going to chime on you during that time and be pretty devoted into that. Choose things that are good for you. Have a good meal. Pause your Sabbath rest and celebrate it. You be out in creation, worship. For those who like to read, for Amanda, she's going to be reading. There's a possibility within that. You can also review the week with gratitude. I think this is a great practice. If you can get yourself to do this on Fridays, look back, if you have a normal work week, look back at your week and say, what am I thankful for? What did I go through that was hard that God used? To be able to do that instead of constantly be like, you think you've got it bad, I've got it bad. To be able to practice that and have gratitude with the Lord. More Christian community, I help on all the time. I can't tell you the difference it makes. And if you think, well, there's this boundary, this boundary, this boundary, let's talk about those boundaries and get them out of your way. Plan periodic retreats. Again, part of my process is a three-day sabbatical at the beginning of every year up at Mohican. That's one of my places. And that's something I'm pretty diehard. I try to skip it a couple times, and God gets mad. Have accountability partners. It's almost impossible to ignore something if somebody else knows about it and they're going to ask you about it. Be somebody else's accountability partner, how it's going. Are you in it? Are you still moving within it? I hit the wrong button. Let's go back. Bink. And establish firm boundaries to protect your Sabbath rest. If you are in a home household and you have a good marriage, or you're single, it's easier. A lot of things are easier if you're single. But if you're married and you have a good marriage, or you have good parents, or you have good kids, they're going to understand your boundaries. It's not like, well, that takes 20 minutes of my time away from me. It's not being a joke. I just need 20 minutes, and I'll give you your 20 minutes, or whatever the case may be. To having the phone off. Yesterday I was working on sermon, a couple phone calls coming in. I should have just turned it off. I mean, I didn't take them, but I should have just turned it off. And have boundaries in place, because you're going to have to protect it. You're going to have to protect it, not just from others, but also from yourself, because we're not really good at keeping to these type of things. So, a couple things I would say within this. First off, if you're sitting there today, you're like, you know what? Tom's right for once. I just need to shut everything down, just so everybody know, and I'm done. That's not sabbatical rest. That's you burning out. Sabbath rest is not saying no to everything, going home and just sitting in your living room and crying. That shows that you're done. That shows you're burning out. If you have those kind of signs, you see those kind of things that we're talking about that are building up in your life. Take notice of it, that you have burned out, and let's talk about some ideas on how to get some immediate sabbatical rest to be able to step off. You might have to take a week off to do it. You might have to say no to some things, but just a quick, I'm saying no to everything, is you're burning out. You need a refueling plan on how to refuel and how to move into that. Scripture, prayer, Christian community, accountability. So just take a second right now, especially if you're a note taker and you got your notes out. If not, mentally do this. What are three things that you know refresh you in the Lord that you need to bring into your life? Grab those three things, write them down. I mean, Bible and prayer is always our quick ones to go to. Christian community is always my number two. But maybe for you, it's taking a walk and praying. Maybe for you, it's taking and swimming in the swimming pool or whatever the case may be. It could be really, really different. Maybe to you, it's 20 minutes of going over to Maine Society and playing with puppies. You know, so I know people that really get their time with the Lord that way. What do you really need to do? And put those down and put them into place. It's literally that simple. Protect them. Protect them.
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500 or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.